Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Right between Rest and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it breathe me. Way I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to another edition of Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. on this wonderful station, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino Braun, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. And you can text us at 422-GR96. And again, I love the callers who call in and give their contribution. You guys make a significant contribution on the show. And y'all explain what is going on, but also y'all find alternative solutions. And many of the solutions that we have come up with on the show is the solution we need to take this country to the next level. Last week on the show, we talked about the statistics by the Ministry of Health that presented the data, the statistics to the government of the Bahamas concerning our 13 to 17-year-old, where one out of five was contemplating suicide. How many are on drugs, many are smoking cigarette. There's a lot of sexually transmitted diseases passing between the ages of 13 to 17. So we're in crisis mode. And that's what Guardian Radio got me here, to talk about my life experience and the experience and stories of the individuals in this country who are suffering because they need urgent help. And we have to find the help they need. And last week, you know, I get very emotional about these things because I've been advocating for so many years and sitting down with so many different governments, PLP and FNM over the years, and they have made some scribes to some of the suggestions made by many of us, like Carlos Reed, Eric Fox, C.B. Moss, Tennille Burrows, you know, some of those who are advocates in the country, who are concerned about the country and see that we are going on a slippery slope. And last week, you know, I see the dire need to pay attention to the statistics that was provided to the government of the Bahamas. Because, honestly, it's a crisis going on in our country. And last week, you know, I want to again apologize to the listeners, especially the young kids, the parents, the grandparents, all of you who listen to Guardian Radio, and for many of you who listen to Inside the Inner City, I got a little bit with the character because I'm different from other people. You know, I have a big heart. I care for the country. But I know, like, when we could do better from what 25 years ago, with some of the recommendation that was made by many advocates and many persons in the country who's concerned about the country. So for me, I know we could do more in the country. So I want to again apologize for my behavior. I made one or two comments. I'd like to apologize to each and every one of you. And the only reason I did that is because I am concerned for the welfare of the 13, 17. I am concerned about the grandmothers. I am concerned about the entire population of the Bahamas, indirectly, those who I don't know. My love goes out to you, because we all are in danger in the Bahamas, based on those statistics that was presented by the Ministry of Health. And she said it's urgent need that we pay attention to the statistics. I, for one, you know, I am frustrated to the teeth, because I know the powers to be could make a better effort to address the problem. And this problem is a big problem. This problem is not an easy problem to solve because of the decay of the mindset of our females and our males. It's going to be hard, people, listen to me. It's going to be hard to change their mindset. Even if all the money drop out of the sky, okay? Even if all the money drop out of the sky in front of them, it's going to be hard to redirect their way of thinking because they have been living this life. Their parents have been living this life. And it passed on to them. Now they're living this life even more dangerous than their parents. So they're corrupted. They're going to make bad decisions. Okay? And that's what happened right now in our country. People are not thinking straight. Okay? We are a conflict zone. Okay? We turn to violence more than we deal with conflict resolution. The first word comes out of our mouth. All of us. I have to control myself, you know. I have to control myself to conduct myself in the right manner because sometimes I get out of character. But I think, I say, hey, before you do this, there's consequences, okay? And by doing so, there's prison, okay? There's retaliation. Okay, there's a lot to think about, you know, but for many people out there, they don't think about that unless it's afterwards, when they have time to sit down in the station or when they have time to, you know, that's the only time. You know, they don't have no one to lean on. And you hear my voice change last week is because, and how I'm speaking now is because I am 150% passionate about the welfare of the nation. And right now, I head on a slippery slope. And it seems to be, there's no end in sight for an alternative solution. So today we're going to talk about the Prime Minister's comment on the matter. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Minister of Housing, the Honorable Keith Bell, his address towards the liquor license. And we're going to talk a little bit about the president of the Crystal Council, President of the Crystal Council. He gave a comment about the church hypocrisy, right? But before we begin that, I want to start it off with first Latin Prime Minister gave his address that he gave the NASA Guardian to the media, and then we're going to go from there. Yes, that's the first one with the Prime Minister with the NASA Guardian. Thank you, Chris.
It's staggering and heartbreaking. There's no single cause, but we know the pressures are real. The expectations, the silence, the bullying, the economic strain at home, and the ever-growing influence of social media. The images, the comparisons, the pressure to be perfect, it's too much. Our children are carrying burdens many of us can't see, and in some cases can't even begin to understand. This is not just a health issue. This is a moral issue. This is a national issue. It is a call to action for government, for parents, for teachers, for churches, for communities. We took a major step forward in 2022 with the passage of the new Mental Health Act, the first meaningful reform to our mental health legislation in nearly 60 years. We didn't just pass a law, we laid the foundation for a new era in how we support those who are struggling.
Well, the Prime Minister has an assessment based on the statistics he got from the Ministry of Health. And he named off a lot of problems that the kids are facing in the country. Our kids,
okay,
where if they're in a single parent home, it's very difficult for a single parent, especially a mother and children. If she has a job, you know, she would have to go and leave her home, sometimes unattended, with the kid, with the oldest kid there, to take care of the rest of the kids in the house. And these same kids who, like 12, 13, it could be even younger, okay? They become parents at an early age because when their parents leave with the house, you know, they are left to deal with feeding their younger siblings, telling them to go bed, you know, make sure all the light fixtures off, the stove off, and et cetera. And this responsibility falls on the kids. Now, mind you now, a prime example is a few weeks ago, reported on the Nassau Guardian, where we saw a lady who left her young daughter home and she went to apply for a job. Now, we can't blame this woman, okay? If there's no church present, there's no community present, there's no social service present, what is left for a mother or a father to do? They have to make a choice. That don't mean they're careless parents because they left their children home. You know, because this lady was picked up, and when the investigators did their investigation, she told them she left a camera at home and she was monitoring her daughter on a journey. But as she was sitting down in the office waiting to get an interview, her daughter ran out the view of the camera. And because she was waiting on the interview, she really didn't look at her phone until an hour or so later, she got a call that her daughter was wandering and she was arrested. But I see the judge was lenient on her, understanding that she was not a careless parent because she left a camera in the ceiling, but she has no one to watch her daughter. You know, because family sometimes are not there. You know, a lot of people are living a life right now where they have nobody. They feel abandoned, nowhere to turn. Okay? And I think the church is supposed to provide that kind of support. So, yeah, our kids, listen, there's no future for our kids in the Bahamas, okay? For the few who go on to make it, DeAndre Ayton, Buddy, and the rest of them who have taking the opportunity and to better their career, to better their life, and are successful. I applaud them, Vijay Edgecombe. You know, but so many are not going to even have that chance because there's nothing that is provided for them in these communities that they live in. I live in inner city community people. And if the volume of people come to me every day, ask me for something to do, or ask me for a few dollars, or ask me for work, for the leaders of the country, they won't be able to deal with that volume of people. And if you don't believe me, go ask anyone in Lewis Street, Hayes Street, and Taylor Street and ask them about me and watch their reply when my name is mentioned. I'm not an MP. I'm just a concerned young man who know the directory this country was headed in a long time ago because I was a part of it. I know what the problem is. That's why it was one of the reasons I said I want to change my life because I see I can make a difference of exposing the conditions that our nation's youth and country at large is facing. I say instead of me being someone who lead in a gang, I said, let me lead by having a platform, but also putting in the work in the community, which I've done community work for over 25 to 26 years, and I'm still doing community work up to this day. I've never stopped. I've done numerous programs that I can't even remember. It's crazy, you know. The kids are roaming the streets morning to night with no curricular activities for them to do. They are attracted by negativity, okay? They like violence. You wouldn't see one kid in the road unless an argument. The minute the argument start, you would see these kids come out from all these side corners just to come and look at someone getting shoot or killed or someone fighting in the street, or they are fighting against one another in the streets in Nassau, New Providence. There's no guidance. I thank the Lord for making me strong so that I would keep my mouth closed when I see kids in the road cursing and carrying on. I would say, hey, watch your mouth, please. Watch those big words coming out your mouth. And did you say good afternoon or good morning when you passed us as we were standing up on the corner? I do these things in my community, okay? I don't let my community go rogue. There's only certain things that you can't control. But still, I'm not going to let it be just darkness. And no one is speaking on the matters. Like, they wouldn't say nothing because everyone is afraid. Everyone is afraid because of the violence. Everyone is afraid that if you bought up this kid, you know, they auntie or uncle or their brother is going to come back and get you. You know, we are conflict zone. And we resort to violence, and we help to find an alternative situation to address these issues. And that means, hey, this has to be a national, not PLP, not FNM, not Coalition of Independence. The government of the now, which is the Progressive Liberal Party, they have to find an alternative solution, find a way how they could reroute probably $100 million to the healthcare sector, and find a way how we can trickle it down in the inner city community. Because I feel that all of this is a part of health. All of this is a part of health. And I think we're going to have to make it a priority. We can play the next clip, please.
Etc. sand speaks volumes of the horrific incident that unfolded on Mantle Street in the Montel Heights area Tuesday morning. According to police, a 58-year-old man armed with a firearm and a cutlass entered a home and attacked a woman with a cutlass before fatally shooting a man inside the home. A young girl was also shot. The suspect was found dead outside the house next door with an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. A 72-year-old resident says she woke up to find blood in her front yard.
He tried to leave blood in my yard to make me be scared when I walk that way now.
She says she didn't hear the sounds of gunshots being fired, but it's sad that a domestic dispute had to end so tragically and a young girl was injured.
It don't make no sense. Why are you just trying to go to kill me and you together? Why are you trying to come to destroy somebody else and to kill them? And to come here and you ain't kill yourself and you kill her. Why are you come here this way to kill and the next yard to kill yourself? That don't make no sense. That is sure you have the wisdom and knowledge and understanding. But to say like that, it's sad to see, you know, because that's a young child. I ain't like an old person like me. I say, what they do? They ain't going to be like me. So I say, come on, man. You got to do put right where right as you can. Just have people try to destroy the whole world.
Another resident of the home says he had no idea what had transpired outside his home until he woke up.
I didn't find out, actually, until this morning.
And what was your initial reaction when you found out that there had been an incident next door and then the person had died in your yard?
I mean, it feels like almost like a norm, so.
He says he doesn't know the victims, but the situation is sad.
It's actually sad to hear, like, a young girl, like, actually get caught up in a predicament like that. So it's sad to hear that. It's sad to hear that. And I wish she wasn't really in a predicament like that, too.
The injured woman and girl were transported to the hospital for medical treatment. Their condition is unknown. Reporting for the Guardian News Network, I'm Vonnie Tude.
You know, and like I said, when Guardian Radio gave me this platform, they wanted me to talk about the stories. I know everyone in that family right now. You know, I know the guy who did, who killed himself and committed suicide and kill the next gentleman. I know him as well. Two of them I know. I know landlord. I know the guy who got killed as well. Both of them are my good friends. I just saw a landlord about, that's why I'm so passionate about these things. And everyone who I know, they always end up doing serious crimes. Yeah, I know landlord. No, let me just talk about landlord a little bit. I've known landlord from when I was a little boy. He was senior man in the streets to all the guys. He was not a troublesome young man, but he hung over the guys, you know, but he never was that troublesome one, so I don't even understand how landlord, man, this is surprising me. I mean, boy, I know, the pressure, just pressure. So anyway, landlord's a good guy, you know. I don't think he's been a problem in a little while. The lady who he assaulted with the cutlass and also shot, that is my good friend as well. You know, because no one landlord and no one her. We had a great relationship because all of them look up to me. They like what I was doing in the community with the tournaments and feeding the kids and back to school. And they know where I came from. So a lot of them looked up to me. And when they see me, you know, they have the smile on their face. They appreciate me because they know I'm sincere. His girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, I've known her for over basically 25 years. They used to reside in the Lewis Street, Hay Street, and Taylor Street area for many years until they moved out a few years ago. And once in a while, they would frequent. Their daughter, the younger one, I know their oldest daughter, who was not present. I met the 12-year-old when I saw her mom, but 3 months ago, by Sticky's takeaway on Market Street. And I talked to her oldest daughter, and her oldest daughter was not present as the daughter that her and landlord had, but she was not present. but I met a 12-year-old. So I know of all those individuals. As far as saying landlord, his character was not a bad person, you know. He was not a bad person, you know. Something extreme had to happen, pressure, relationship, and without the proper counseling, you know, again, church. I say I'm not blaming nobody, but that's what the church for. Church said they preaching the word of God. They consult people, they counsel people. You know, they could go door to door and talk to people who have these problems, you know. A lot of these people don't have no one to talk to. All right, they don't have no one to turn to, okay? And it's just crazy, man, you know. When we got the news, you know, it's the norm. You know, it's people who you're close to, you know. And everyone said, landlord. Landlord going buy a gun and cutlass. So I knew it had to be somebody from the old school because that's the old school. That's how the old school used to move. You would move with a cutlass and we move with a gun, or we move with a gun and we move with a knife so that if we get in any position where someone tried to take our firearm, eh, we would be in position to protect ourselves with the knife. And a cutlass, you know, sometimes when guys were rough and tough and they were shooting people in the community, you were looking for them. You know, and you sneak up on them. You just didn't want to shoot guys, so you would pull your gun on them and you would use the cutlass to punish that individual. And that's how the guys used to move in the 90s. So when I heard that, I said, boy, there's got to be someone from the 90s. And then next hour or so, I got a call from my boy, Elroy Bryce. And Elroy Bryce was telling me it was landlord. But the picture on Facebook that was swirling didn't show landlord, it showed him. The next gentleman, you know, I don't really want to call their names like that. I call landlord because, you know, he's passed away now. And the gentleman passed away as well. You know, and when he says landlord, and then a few minutes later, I got a picture of the individual who was killed in the suicide, murder, and attempted murder. And I said, wow. And I said, I know the gentleman as well, because Elroy said, I know him too. When I look at this, so as pretty as the man he always passed through once in a while, you know, now he is gone. Then landlord decided, after he killed the gentleman, he was thinking about this. He had this in his mind a long, long time to do, because he went at 1 o'clock. So he was prepared. You know, he had the gun for the guy. He had the cutlass for his girlfriend. So he really wanted to brutalize her. He really wanted her to scream, you know? He really wanted her to scream. And then when he got interrupted, like I said, he had the gun for the gentleman. And when the gentleman heard the scream, he ran in and landlord shot him, killed him. And then the 12-year-old probably went to go call somebody or use the phone. He was in a rage. He shot her too. And then he shot his baby mom a few times. But she didn't die, and the little girl didn't die. You know? It's crazy. Sometimes people just need someone to talk to. You know, and last week, a gentleman, he, as I was mentioning the church, he commented on it. And that was an eye-opener for me. And he said, you know, people would be expecting so much from the church, but the church got to be able to take care of their own voice. So, you know, that's, you know, so I guess that's the people who are inside the church who are in need. You collect the tithes and you give to them. I have no problem with that. You know, it's just that we got to extend it outside the church, because if that's the case, then the church is useless, because it's not reaching people like landlord. It's not reaching these people who are thinking about taking their lives. Not saying that we could stop an individual from taking his life or committing crime, but
I think with inspiration, that can be a great help. You know, because in this Bahamas now, people in the inner city communities around the country, they don't respect pastors no more. Okay? They don't. Pastors are invisible now. I think the last two as popular pastors and as men of God. So I don't know who's who, but I'm going to say the two top pastors we had the most popular is Miles Monroe. Deceased Miles Monroe. He was an inspirational speaker, well-renowned, and he preached with the word of God. And then we had Bishop Neil Ellis. These two were the biggest and most famous pastors in the Bahamas. There's not going to be no more famous pastors in this country no more. No one is ever going to be famous as Miles or as popular as Neil Ellis. No, because people nowadays are moving away from Christianity and they're just living their life the best way they can. They're surviving because they ain't seen this Jesus, they ain't seen this God, and definitely it's not applying to them. So the church are sending a lot of people to hell. Okay? And this ain't no slap in no one's face. This is the truth. This is the truth. Okay? This is the truth. There ain't going to be no more famous pastors like Neil Ellis and world-renowned as Miles Monroe. People are no longer, this generation, don't respect pastors. The only pastors who are going to be respected is the pastors who go on the highway and byway and know their community. Means that they know the people around their church and in their environment. Because if you go door to door, you make yourself visible, you're a wide counseling, you're a wide help, and you're a wide opportunities. These people, again, will regain the trust of the church. But for right now, in this age, ain't an opening for no church. Okay? The church right now is corrupted. It's corrupted with pastors who are going to be PLP and FNM. You cannot serve two masters. Okay? We got pastors who are supposed to be preaching the word of God, preaching for Brave Davis. You get pastors who are supposed to be preaching the word of God, preaching for the opposition leader, Michael Pintard. You ain't got no pastor praying for Lincoln Bean because Lincoln Bean is a pastor. You understand? He don't act like it. You understand? You all understand what I'm trying to say? I believe, honestly, I believe that a man of God should not be in politics. This is just me. Listen, this is me speaking. Gosh, if history is correct, let me tell you why I can say that. The last time I know in history, written in the Bible, was that there was the high priest them, there was Jesus Christ, there was Barabbas, and from what, I ain't taking this out of context, this is just in the book, from what I heard, the pastors them, who was involved with the Roman government, Caesar, who was siding with them, they were the ones who crucified Christ. You understand me? So ain't nothing changed. And all this It's what bringing demons in a lot of people in this country. They're talking for Brave Davis. They're talking for money. Talking, well, let them talk with Brave. No, Brave give you a piece of land, give you one contract, which is, you know, but you serve God. And for the pastors who are doing their job, I want to give you a thumbs up and let you know you are doing the right thing by going into the highways and byways. I just want to read this. These are not my words. I've been saying this for years. I know what the problem is. I go on back and show you how pastors were the ones who crucified Christ, who let the people decide if they want Barabbas, who was a criminal, murderer, rapist, and Christ, who was speaking the truth, healing people, counseling people. The church crucify him. So for me, I'm going to say this personally. If there are pastors out there who are PLB and F and them, they speak on this issue, I'm going to tell you this. You got a rude awakening coming from the Most High. Sometimes I'm just a messenger. I was from the streets, and I love God. I love Jesus. That's why I'm applying it every day in my community, in my country. Trying to help who I can, encourage who I can. Talking on the airwaves for them. I ain't talking for no money, popularity. Those things don't mean not a thing to me. Not a thing. It means to me. What means to me is the state of the nation. And I know where we're headed. We're going to take this one call, and then we're going to continue the conversation with the BCC chief, Carl's old church hypocrisy. But let me get them in. Go ahead, caller. You on Inside in the City on Guardian Radio?
Yes, Scrooge. How you doing, man?
I'm fine.
Hey, man, Scrooge, you know what I want to address, right?
What's
I
want
to address ministers of government. You know, when they're PLP ministers and when they're FNM ministers, those ministers who we need to address, you know, those are the ministers who are holding us back, who are selling us out.
Mm.
You see, right now in a place in our homeland in Africa, there are only 3 ministers, and these are military ministers, right, who are representing the people. All the others, they are selling us out. They are corrupt. You understand what I'm saying? They are giving away our resources. These people got gold, they got uranium. You know them first world nations, you know where they get the energy from? Nuclear. And they get the uranium from Africa. You know, and those African leaders give them away. All but 3 leaders. Don't give them no gold. Don't let them take their gold. Don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Their resources. But let's look at us in the Bahamas or in the Caribbean. We got Trinidad. You know Trinidad? Trinidad, like them 3 African military leaders.
They get real coming to the ground.
Right. And they ain't sell out their people for no world power to the United States. You know, they tell Donald Trump with their visa.
Yeah.
They ain't listen to Donald Trump when he's trying to take their visas. They could keep that. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
They fight back against, they ain't fall up to Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but our leaders and the other Caribbean leaders, they fall up. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Our leaders, they okay. What is our resources? Is the sun the greatest resource we have? Is the sun that's making money for us right now? And you know we sell that. We get foreigners owning the tourist industry. That you know what I'm saying? That benefit is because of the sun. You know, and the sand that we walk on the beach. You understand me? The fishes in our sea. We sell out. Our leaders sell us out. You know, and the people that have the voice, they go along with them. They're afraid to lose a U.S. visa. You understand me? They're afraid to lose a scholarship or a studentship in the United States. They're afraid of these things. Why? You see, we got to stop. And the only thing our leaders, all of these leaders are the same. I don't care what they name. They can name PLP leaders, FNM leaders, or even the new one. They all the same. You understand me? They afraid of our white bosses, our white our masters.
Yeah.
You see?
But not all
independence we had today. But, I can't feel that. But, I don't know how people could feel, I don't know how behemoths could feel that.
And let me just rub something on what you're saying. I go a little further. In some cases we have white bosses, but some of these guys who are in power, they don't respect white people. And they are worse than the white people who is controlling us right now in this country. I just want to rub that in. So don't think for a minute because they in parliament and they might have some white connections. Some of them don't bow, right? But they are more dangerous towards us than they are towards them. Go ahead, caller.
You know, like all the deals here, you have to tell them they foreign investors, they bring in this foreign investor, that foreign investor. The European foreign investors, even if they Chinese, it's the same.
Mm.
You understand me? What you think they get in for them? Crumbs. They selling us out for crumbs, bro.
Yeah.
You hear they these foreign investors. They afraid of them?
Yes.
They afraid of them? We don't even make a school driver in this country. Come on, man.
Yeah, I know why.
Because our leaders the master say you can't make nothing.
You gotta
get everything from us. You gotta give us all your resources. You gotta control everything that makes money in your country.
That's why the young people nowadays from 13 to 17, 1 or 5, is contemplating doing suicide because there's no future in the country for them. They can't look and see what they wanna do, what field they wanna go, what trade they wanna go in. They can't. It's just like get up every day. Hustle, go on the streets.
When you go on the job, they won't give you slave wages.
Well, listen.
You ain't do nothing in school. You do dumb. They gotta pay you slave wages. That's foolishness. They want you to be their slaves. You see, and you know, the youth, them. You know who they watching? They watching them CMG leaders, these military leaders. You know, the democracy they talk about. That ain't democracy. You know. This is a system where the rich man is the law. The rich man sets everything. It's him. That's him who sets policies. You understand me? It's him who is the masters of our leaders. They got to bow to them and give them whatever they want in our country.
Mm.
You see? But anyway, Scrooge.
Yeah.
Man, you know what to do, man. You know?
Yes, sir.
Be strong, bro.
Yes, sir.
Sell out.
You know, ooh, sell, oh, hey, brother, don't you, hey, listen, brother, listen. Now you cost me and you
no,
go
to.
No, listen to me, listen to me.
To
yeah, but don't tell me. When you say sell out, now, listen. There's no one in this country. I cannot be bought. And anyone know me? Really? Might come on this radio. I don't know, sir. Don't bought. That, no, sir. Don't say that to me. Yeah, but don't say that to me. Look, you can see. You think, listen to me. Who you think is the most hated in the country? Let me ask you a question, which I don't give a crap. Let me ask you a question. Right now in this country, in the last 15 years, and coming in this program, who do you think is the most hated?
You, man. That's why they only giving you this one day.
It don't matter to me because I make this one day useful because you guys come in and contribute. This one day is one of the most popular shows on Guardian. I only come here Friday. They show me the see the ratings, and this is one. Listen, this is how serious it is. So it's getting out there. Even though it's one day, this one day makes a very big difference to show you.
Them depending on you, bro.
Yes.
Especially them ghetto youth. They depending
yes,
on you.
And that's why I can never, ever sell out.
Represent
until the day I die. Yes. Can never, ever sell out.
Yeah, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Caller made some good comments just now. Like I say, I can never be bought out. Okay? I have connection with some of the richest set of people in the country. And they helped me with things that concern the community, like the cleanup program that I'm doing right now. I've been doing cleanup program for 15 years in that community, moving old houses, putting on rat poison. And I'm still assisting the community right now. Ben is beat through each corner. Wherever any resident in the Lewis Street, Hay Street, and Taylor Street calls me, it's done freely. I'd send 2-3 guys. If the family has nobody, but if they have kids, and I put the bin there, the kids is going to have to wait and clean up the yard, because I'm not going to send someone there to pay them to clean up your garbage when you have kids there. Teach them how to be cleansy. Teach them how to tidy up, and et cetera. We're going to take this next call, and then we're going to continue the conversation. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing,
sir? Good afternoon. This, I know the voice. Mr. Anton, where you been, Mr. Day? I see you at the sun, man. Your son look like a twin, man.
Boy, thank you very much. Yeah. I write that right now, keep it local, but
yeah, man, I know.
Dude,
go.
I want to comment on what you all been talking about just now, right?
Go ahead, brother.
But before I said it, I was listening to you talk a little earlier, and you were talking about landlord.
Yes, landlord.
Now, I haven't been keeping current with the news, unfortunately, right? What happened with landlord, Chris?
No, not that's not the one from BFM now.
Oh, that's a different one.
That's a different landlord. Let me just say that. I forget to say that. That's the next landlord who lived with that. That landlord's doing tremendously great. That's the next landlord who lives in the area. Excuse me, general public. When I said landlord, I know most you refer to landlord, my boy.
Right.
But no, this is the next landlord in the inner city community who I grew up on. My apologies. Go ahead, Anton.
Okay, all right. Thanks. Now, as it relates to external powers, right, Scrooge?
Yes, sir.
And what is happening in the country locally, right? There's the reality, Scrooge, and then there's a perceived reality, right? The reality is that the Bahamas is a small island developing state, as you very well know, right? And there's a reality that in the world scheme, the Bahamas is an island, right?
Yes.
The Bahamas is unable to protect its citizens if wartime comes. We don't have the military might, right? We don't have the financial might either, right? That's taking care of and doing business and ensuring that your citizens rise up. That's a totally different conversation. I'm talking about on the global stage now.
Yeah.
Right, Scrooge? I can translate onto the local stage in a minute.
Okay.
But we don't have the military might. We don't have the financial might. We don't have the resources might in order to stand for ourselves. We don't produce food in enough abundance to feed ourselves and to be self-sustaining. We don't have the necessary medical care to take care of our citizens completely within country. We don't have enough tertiary level education providers to provide the level of education for the amount of students graduating who wants to pursue technical or academic. We don't produce enough doctors. We don't produce enough nurses. And when we do produce them,
they live.
They're being poached by first world nations who could afford to pay them 4 and 5 times what they would earn in our country.
Yeah.
And so we have certain realities. They come back to that point. We have certain realities, and then we have certain perceived realities, Scrooge, right? And I like to keep it real. Like you, I like to keep it real, right? Now, we can do much better. I agree on that part. We can do much better with empowering our people. Because we still have a glass ceiling up after all these decades of events. It's still a glass ceiling. But Scrooge, I cannot agree that, and I'm not one who believes in conducting myself and my life in accordance with whose skin is white or whose skin is black, right? We're all human beings. You understand what I'm saying, Scrooge?
I feel you, brother.
And we all have to live in this country together, right? However, Scrooge, the reality and the history is there to point to it. When you have a society that cannot attain education beyond a third grade, because people of the lighter you, it ensured deliberately that it was done that way.
Mm.
When you have a reality where a handful, literally a handful of Bahamians gets to go to a government high school, a handful of tens of thousands, a handful, Scrooge, gets to go off to university, a handful, Scrooge.
Mm.
That ain't no life for a free people.
No, no.
That ain't no life for a free people.
You're too small. You're too small.
Voice on a glass ceiling.
It's too small.
That's slavery.
Yes, it's too small.
Keeping your people enslaved.
That means only a few get out to be successful wise.
Exactly, and keeping them ignorant.
We get 100.
We can't compare that era with where the Bahamas is today.
No, no.
Your grandparents grew up in that era.
Yeah.
Scrooge, they can tell you that.
Yeah.
My parents grew up in that era.
Mm-hmm.
My father was one who fought against that to create a majority rule in this country.
Mm.
So,
great man.
If you want to talk about and have that honest conversation, Scrooge, as bad and as backward as certain things are in our country, and I agree with you with that, because I know your heart, and I know you look out for the people. And I know you want better for the people, and that's the perspective that you speak from. Certain other people, Scrooge, when they speak, they ain't speaking in your language.
No.
And they misrepresenting the reality of what exists on the ground today. Yes. The humans couldn't fight. We could have barely go down. We couldn't even go downtown, Scrooge.
Yes, yes. I got bar from going downtown.
You understand?
I got bar from going downtown.
Job.
To die for quarters and make a little living to buy my tenant, my clocks.
You understand what
it is,
because even in our time of growing up, a little part of it still existed.
Yes.
Even in our time, our time, Scrooge, of growing up as children.
Yeah, yeah.
You sell your newspapers or
you sell peanuts. Canaps. Whatever.
You sell peanuts.
Whatever fruits come in season.
Mango.
Whatever fruits come in season. Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Scrooge, it's a totally different time that we're living in now.
Yes.
We, as bad as some things are in the country, when black persons from other nations come to our country, Scrooge, they are astonished to see black power.
Yep.
To see black politicians controlling
in the country. That's why I say right there, we have destiny on, but we failing.
We have a long way to go, Scrooge.
Yes,
I agree entirely. We have a lot more things to get done on behalf of all of our people.
Yes.
Because as the tide rises, everybody's supposed to be rising with this tide.
Yes.
It should be a tsunami flowing through the country of positivity.
So you're talking about the square deal?
Yes, the square deal.
The square deal. That's what's the deal.
We never attained that part of the majority rule movement.
Yes.
We never attained economic majority rule. Is a coin I phrase, a phrase I coined 20 years ago.
Yeah.
We've never seen economic majority rule in our country. We're still struggling with it today.
Yes, sir.
We have a prime minister, Scrooge, and this ain't got nothing to do with politics. This got to do with the person who I know. He has that heart, you know, Scrooge.
I think, personally, he has a good heart.
He has the heart. Scrooge, listen to me, Scrooge. Listen to me. I know these people. I'm around them. I know these people, Scrooge.
Ain't a bad person.
Scrooge, listen to me. You have some people, in particular from Dr. Lyndon Pinlan era, where my father is from. These people, they have no problem. Their hands were always open. You understand what I say when I said it, Red Scrooge?
I'm hearing you, brother.
They had no problems giving, in other words, and empowering. They had no problem seeing each other rise.
Right.
Right? There was some amongst them had problem.
Yep.
But that amongst Scrooge, who have problems seeing us grow, has grown even bigger in numbers as we come down to the modern government of this era that we are in currently.
Wow.
Scrooge. And that is where the problem comes in. Now, I listened to the Prime Minister, Scrooge, and I hear him make some strong statements and pronouncements in Parliament and outside of Parliament about the change that he is going to ensure and ensuring that certain things don't happen on his watch because he's the Prime Minister. Once PM follows through with that, Scrooge, things could be exactly where you would like to see them. where I would like to see them. Where others in the country who call in to talk about things they don't like, what they see happening in the country, would be Scrooge. Because we have a prime minister who lived that life, Scrooge, just like us. He know it. He knows it. And it's a shame that he has to come back from on high, focusing on the big issues and solving the big issues for the country, to have to get down in the dirt to ensure that the people are taken care of. Yep. He should have people we could trust to do that and be able to turn his back while he's doing business internationally, everything.
Running smooth. You got people on the ground, fixing horses. You got instructors on the parks. You got all the small business development in the inner city communities with people who live. Why is he making his travels and stuff like that?
Yes.
But he has
people like you, Scrooge, you shouldn't have to be depending on no one to do good in your community.
Mm-hmm.
You should have the support
from the government.
And you should have the encouragement of your government.
Yes.
Whoever the government of the day is.
Yes, you're correct. If they're so committed to it. You're correct.
You shouldn't have to be looking for that support. You shouldn't have to be waiting for that support. And you shouldn't have to be subject to for that support.
Yes.
That's a big part of the problem we have. I can end right there because I know y'all have other callers. And I know you want to finish your discussion, Scrooge.
Thanks.
But Scrooge, listen, man. You have a good heart. You are for the people. I'm the CMA, Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
I want to encourage you to continue traveling that beaten path until we get the change that we desire in this country. Yes, that is your right.
Yes,
and nobody can take that away from you.
Thank you.
Ain't nobody got to like you.
Yeah.
And where me and you come from, we don't care.
No, we don't care. Like that's why God made us tough on the streets.
We don't care what people like in us, Scrooge.
That's right.
Some of these jokers don't understand.
But the children,
we can continue to move forward in the right direction. I encourage you, Scrooge. God's continued blessings, my brother.
Yes, sir.
In God's name, I come against everything that comes against you and what you are trying to do
to
empower people in your community and throughout the country. And the same with me. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless up, Scrooge.
Yeah, man. Thanks, man, Antoine, man. Wow, that's that is the greatest gift a person could get when one exalts another. And that's true love. And that's what we need when people like Antoine and the callers calling in, they contributing. And what he's saying is completely correct. You know, and the word of prayer just now, wow, it's crazy. Thank you very much, Antoine. We're going to take this last call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside in the City on Guardian Radio.
Hey, good evening, Scrooge.
Good night to you. Good evening to you.
Hey, Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to get carried away with Antoine because no matter what, Antoine is political, he is PLP, and he ain't nothing else, okay?
Yes, sir.
Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
Just remember, when you talk about being sincere and not being able to be bought out, I know you don't know me personally.
Yes, sir.
But let me let you know, I'm from Derby Road, and when crooks like Scaver, none of them come up against me, they had to run. Okay? I want your number so me and you could have one-on-one dialogue.
Yes, sir.
And people like Carlos Reed know me personally.
Okay.
Okay? Yes. I grew up personally with Michael Pentard, and we went to school and graduate with Miles DeRoda, okay? And 52.
Okay.
Okay? We are schoolmates, okay? So Anton could run on with whatever he want about the prime minister. He know me personally, too.
Okay.
I mean, not personally.
Yes,
because,
sir.
Let me tell you, okay? My cousin, Clayton Fernando.
Yes.
My cousin. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And I won't run on too much about him and the prime minister and what he means. Because let me let you know, it is the 11th, 3 days from now, will make 2 years and 8 months. And according to law, this cabinet ministry, the investment board, ain't take time to answer my letter written to them yet.
Mm.
So let's be fair. I want your number.
Okay.
So you and I could dialogue one-on-one, because whatever people think, and they can't take my properties in Pittstown, Crooked Island, and I don't know why they won't play politics with me.
Mm.
Okay? And some other things I could say, but I wouldn't choose to say right now on the radio. Okay? How do I get your number?
Okay, I'm going to let the producer give you my number.
Right.
Yeah, You get it, so you got to stay on the line. And I'll have them send it to you. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate the callers. You know, we all have our point of view. And like I say, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the country, and we need to pay attention. When referring to the prime minister, I think that he's a good guy, but I think the team around him, they're not concerned about the people in the inner city community. Anton spoke about the fact that when the prime minister traveled, he, you know, supposed to have people who is taking the pressure off him. Means that they're focusing on the people. It means they're fixing houses. They're coming up with strategic plans on what they want to see happen in the community, how they could get urban renewal to be more effective, how you get BOMC in the inner city community, how you could get BTVI in the community, and et cetera, how we could get the small business development and strategic positioning in these communities instead of helping people to go through all the 9 yards by the office of the prime minister. Maybe we could saturate the small business center branch off from government, like how are they doing BOMC now. BOMC is actually on Market Street by the red light. So if you want fruits and vegetables in abundance, BOMC is on Market Street. They've been listening to the show. They take a lot of advice from the show. And we need to expand these programs and institute. We need the small business development in every inner city community in the country, as well as BOMC, as well as BTVI. And with the continuing development with the mental health issue, the Prime Minister spoke about the 2020 bill that deals with mental health. They make mental health a priority in the country. So, like I say, you know, there has to be more committed persons who are working on behalf of the prime minister on the ground, working with people who are not a part of the party, but are contributing greatly. How are they going to respond to people like that? How are they going to respond to people like me who are not a part of the party? Now, my vote, I might vote for PLP, I might vote for FNM, I might vote for Coalition. But at the end of the day, none of them are my party. But I'm working good, hard in the Camport area. I'm the man who was getting the resources and helping the community. But the operative is a PLP operative. The operative is FNM operative. So when he comes to me, he don't like me because he feel I work with the last government. But mind you, I might be the best man for the job so that we can make some things happen for the country. This would be an extension of the government. And we make the government proud and we make ourselves proud. You know, so it's crazy. It's crazy. All right. We're back. Okay. The Minister of Housing, the Honorable Keith Bell. I think Keith Bell has transformed himself. The last time he was a member of parliament, he was cocky. I think he has grown. I think that he's a good minister. I don't know if it's going to be enough for the government to be reelected again, but he's a good minister. He's doing an outstanding job. I like his commentary. I like how he addressed the public. He's a real professional. He made a statement concerning the liquor store. They're looking to amend the liquor store license because we are seeing with all this violence and crime going on, many of the local bars are around the churches in the community. Well, I would agree with that. I know we have to strategize and come up with solutions that we feel is going to slow down the crime wave, especially with the statistics shows that from 13 to 17 kids are on serious drugs. We're talking marijuana, we're talking crack cocaine, we're talking pills, and they're also consuming a lot of alcohol, okay? I applaud the government for looking into the matter, but I just like to say this. You don't need to amend no bill, okay? Because the rummy ain't the problem. The problem is Why would you allow people who are under age 18 to come and purchase liquor from a bar, or allow them to come in a nightclub and they're under the age of 18? We need to put strict restrictions and tell the owners that if they don't have an ID, they should not enter the enter the bar. They cannot buy a beer or a cigarette or a soda under the age of 18. We need a task force to monitor the nightclubs and put strict restriction on all owners to make sure that there's no underage kids hanging up in their to make sure that no kids are hanging up in the nightclub, okay? To the Chinese and all the stars and stuff like that, we should stop kids from going to the store buying cigarettes, cigars, or anything that deals with illegal activity. I mean, anything that deals with smoking, drinking. We need to put a restriction on kids going to the store shopping for their parents. You know, so it ain't about though. It ain't about coming down hard on the liquor, you know, liquor stores, you know. It's the fact is we not restricting on saying, what are requirements if you're not 18? You cannot enter the bar. Simple as that. You can't buy nothing. Okay? Simple as that. We just have to enforce the law. We need to make check and balances. Have officers go around talking to the owners. Make sure that everything is good with the owners. We don't want to harass the owners. Make sure I let them know if you keep anyone here under the age of 18, if you sell anyone any bears or anything, it's a violation. You could be fined. And I think if these restrictions is what we need to apply. You know, I don't think we need to amend nothing. I don't think we have to look at the license or nothing. I think what we need to do is put in restrictions and we go and monitor these particular restaurant and bar. Simple as that. So I think Mr. Keith Bell is doing a great job. And the recommendation is a good one as well. But like I said, I don't think it's the wrong. I don't think it's the liquor. I think it's the fact that be allowed 50 and 60 and 70 year old to be inside nightclubs underage. And I think that's the biggest problem. Have access to alcohol. You know, we got to check these kids. And it ain't all about the alcohol. The statistics also revealed from the Ministry of Health that 13 to 17 are smoking marijuana. The majority of kids in school smoking marijuana. And marijuana is illegal in the Bahamas. So it's a bigger problem than the drinking. Because they get it illegally. How the kids them get it illegally? They know where the dope shops are. Until we could find a way to reduce the dope shops in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And the only reason a lot of those guys out there selling drugs is because that is their only way. They know how to make money, because a lot of them have criminal records. I had Chris on the show a few weeks ago, and you heard Chris, and he talked about the fact that he spent time in prison. When he come, he couldn't get a job. Okay, he was trying to get a business license so he could be able to everyone way. So what you think the majority of these young guys are just selling marijuana and drugs for? Because they don't have no trade. Okay. They're businessmen, and they want to be businessmen, but they have to do business illegally. And we force them to. They're in quarrels. You know, I know some guys who sell marijuana and drugs, and they don't get themselves in no problem because they come there to make money. Then you get some who are young, and they get attracted to the nightclubs and us life, and they want guns. And they, see, guns and selling drugs, it don't go together. You could have your gun, but you don't need to use that. You protect yourself. That's when the robber boy coming or something like that. And I'm not encouraging you to. I'm just telling you this how it is on the streets. Just but every guy who sells drugs has a firearm, all right? But not every guy who sells a drug disposes his firearm or causes harm to individuals. There are just a few many who are very violent, and the only way they're going to make a couple dollars, they know, is to sell drugs. And they go by means to get those drugs. And then, like I say, They're not mentally stable, and they make stupid mistakes. Okay? So if we could stop a lot of the young guys out there from selling marijuana, undergoing the trade, and have guidance, then we see a lot of changes come in this country. A lot of changes what happened to this country. And the mindset of our females and males at the age of 13, 17 will eventually start to change. But let me tell you something. This is a 20-year. It has to be a 20-year program and a consistent program. Even after that, we put this program in place, there's no government that comes in and change it. It's a development, it's a mental health issue. And until we get the prison level numbers down from 7,800 to about, let's say, 200, okay, then we're making progress. So we're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio.
Brother Brown.
Hey, Mr. Thompson.
I was listening to you very carefully.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We have a proliferation of liquor stores.
Yes, sir.
In Black Belt areas.
Yes, sir.
In fact, you have some people who operate a liquor store, a food store,
mm-hmm.
a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
a clothing store,
mm-hmm.
all one right next to the other.
Wow.
How is it that we have that like that?
You got to ask the government.
Someone is giving out these licenses mm-hmm. for people to operate this way, or they're operating illegally.
Mm.
We also understand, information coming to me now, that a lot of these nightclubs and places like that are controlled or owned by police officers.
You're correct.
So you have a problem there.
And
of course, we heard from the report, because I listened to it about mm-hmm. three times. The report that was put out by the Ministry of Health in relation to the youngsters is a very serious report.
Mm-hmm.
A way has got to be found to protect these young children under the age of 18 from all of this criminal activity and violence that is, you know, encroaching on the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to have responsible parenting.
Yes, sir.
There are some parents who are extremely weak.
Yes.
They're not able to control their children, so
yes.
they have to find help and assistance.
Yes.
The parents of my day do not exist today in this country.
You're so correct, sir.
My mother and father went out of their way. 9 children of their own and 3 grandchildren. That's a total of 12 pigeons in the house. And they had strict control over the children. You couldn't go where you wanted to go. Where they sent you, that's where you were sent.
Yes.
What they gave you to eat, that's what you would eat.
Yes.
And today, of course, parents do not have that kind of control. And you would expect the government of the Bahamas to protect the interests of its citizenry. And I always ask myself, in my own area, where I am, the police station in this community doesn't show any interest to the people of this community.
Mm.
You can't get them to do anything.
Mm.
If you have a problem, you got to call somewhere else.
Oh.
But they don't come. They always got an excuse. They're looking after one prisoner. They don't have any transportation. Or just one in the police station. You never get them to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And they are right in the community. So where's the community policing?
It's not there.
I haven't seen it.
No, I've not seen it either.
And that is a problem mm-hmm. that we have. So when you call them, no answer. So you have to call elsewhere. And I just happen to know certain officers who said to me, I must call them if I run into a problem. And I get them to respond. But the point is, you don't have all citizens in the country like that who can call
yes, like a Mr. Thompson. Yes, sir.
And get them to respond.
Yes, sir.
They
yes,
have
sir.
Responded. Every time I would call them, they would respond.
Yes, sir.
But something can happen right in the community where you are. You call the local police station. No response.
Mm-hmm.
That's a major problem. But let me just ask you this question.
Go ahead,
have
sir.
You seen any major constituency problems solved in your constituency over the last 52 years? And what are the clear-cut benefits that the constituents in that particular constituency are enjoying today from parliamentary representation?
You want me to give you the answer, sir?
Yeah.
Nothing!
Okay, fine. All right. You ain't got to say no more.
Okay.
I've been asking that for over a year, and I've been getting the same answer. Zero. Zilch. What is the purpose of you sending a person to the House of Assembly to do what?
Get rich.
And what else?
Take care of their family.
We have to have persons who are going to take care of the interests of the constituents in the given constituency.
Yes, sir. I down with that.
And that is a problem. We seem to forget being a parliamentary representative is one thing. Being a party member is another thing.
Yes.
There's a vast difference between the two. And they get it all mixed up. And that is posing a problem. We have to choose wisely persons who have an interest in us. We have to look at these people very carefully. We got to screen them out to be able to get the right person. In fact, Scripture says, when the righteous in authority,
the nation,
the people rejoice.
That's right.
That's what we have to wake on in this coming election.
Yes, sir.
But Brown, you're doing a good work.
Thank you very much, sir.
I was listening to the show for a while, and I said, let me just call
in. Well, you was doing a wonderful job on Global, sir. And it's always
thank
a pleasure.
You,
you always do.
A lot of people have told me
sir.
I want to do even better
in
our 53rd year.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So you have a pleasant weekend.
Thank you very much,
Mr. All the best as you go forward.
Thank you very much, Mr. Thompson. You know, make a valid point. We're going to take this last call. Call if you make it quick. I just want to read this thing about the church. And then we could go from there. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Yes, Scrooge. I can try to run as quick as I can, bro. Good show all the time.
Yeah, man, brother.
Respect. Scrooge, when you was talking about the mental health bill, I hope the mental health bill don't be as effective as that anti-gang bill. The anti-gang bill come to get passed or get put in the past. You know what I mean? So I hope that mental bill, they're talking about it, but I hope it don't be like the anti-gang bill.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's amazing how I was just thinking that day, because I mean, listening to the conversation, especially the first caller, when he's talking about how our leaders don't do this and don't do that by us, right? But our country, our leaders found it necessary to give us the first central bank digital currency. We're the first country in the world to have that. Now, why do you think we're going to get that? Why do you think they get motivated to be the first country in the world to get that? I mean, of all the things we get in this country, we happen to be the first country in the world to get a central bank digital currency, you understand?
Lord.
Because they don't run things, man. You have to understand those individuals, they are just middlemen, and in a way,
you're right.
Doing their job in those schools. Because, see, when they go and they understand that they ain't really working for us, that they are a middleman. So when they come to us and they talk to us, and even though, because their job is to sell us whatever they need to sell us.
Yeah.
So when they come to us doing that thing, they really don't feel bad in a way because they sell, even though they're selling us out, you know what I mean? And they take people who ain't got no integrity to do that, they look at they still doing their job. You understand? Just like how they still swear to the Queen of England. So, you know what I mean? So they don't really swear to us and to do right by us, by God.
Yes.
So they're obligated to really do them things.
Yes.
You understand? But I try to run quick. So, and when you were talking about the religious leaders who school, it ain't just our political leaders who are afraid of the Europeans per se. It's our religious leaders too, you see. You understand? Because school, let me say this, and I want you to think about this as I leave, but I want you to think about it. Anton, I want to talk to you, Anton. I want to talk to you because if them things you're talking about with the Prime Minister could put in place what you're talking about, he don't put in place or don't work, I want to hear what you get to say then, Anton. But I want to talk to you, Anton. I want to find a way to talk to you. But school, but this other one said you school.
Go ahead, sir.
You see, check this out. Today in our society, right, brother?
Yes.
Right? We talk about sin and the devil, basically, when we talk about religion. We talk about sin and the devil. We talk about this invisible devil we can't see. You know what I mean? Sometimes we go to church and the pastor teaches a message and we go on our job.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, oh, my co-worker, that's the devil right there, the devil on the job, my devil on the job. You understand? Like, that's the kind of mindset we have. You understand?
Yeah,
sin and the devil, right? But when you read the Bible, brother, when you read the Bible from from the Old Testament straight to even to the New Testament with Jesus and the Romans, right? The Bible dealing with world powers, man. You understand? The Bible dealing with oppression and world powers and how they transform you into a different type of people.
Governments,
from which you was meant to be. You understand?
Yes.
And today,
it's live and well. It's live and well.
Our prime minister and all our leaders, them swear to a world power, brother. They swear to the last world power.
That's why.
You know what I mean? So we have been transformed, brother, and we are still transformed. What we need, brother, is we need a wilderness experience, Scrooge. We need, like how Moses did with Egypt for 400 plus years, and they come out, they go in the wilderness, and then they throw off the ways of the Egyptians and try to get back the ways of their forefathers that they knew before slavery. See, that's the kind of doctrine
we need.
Our the pastors need to be teaching inside the church. They need to bring us to identify who the real enemy is, or what the real devil is, or what we need to be fighting against. We are the only people who've been in captivity for 400 plus years, like the people in the Bible, Scrooge. Us black people. You understand? So how is it that our pastors could be reading this Bible all the time and ignore that important factor? Like I say, Ben, we should be focusing on the oppressor and making sure we ain't bowing down to no foreign god like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel. We got to stand up tough. But we can't stand up tough if the devil we think, or the evil one we think, is an invisible devil and sin. You understand? Peace and love, brother.
Yeah, man.
It's a good week. Good.
Enough respect, brother. Enough respect. Wow. You talk about the anti-gang bill. Well, I guess they got to scrap that. Because, you know, they are so focused on us on the streets. You know, that's why I tell the guys on the streets, you all need to retire. You all need to stop killing people for a little 500, a little 5 grand, a little $1,500 and 2 grand. Eh? You all need to retire and robbing. Listen, give that up. I tell you, go in politics. Right? That's where the money making. Or go in the church. Right? No disrespect to the honest, decent pastors. This is not for y'all. But the perception, what we are getting right now in this country, is that politics and the church, some of the churches, some of the pastors are corrupted. Okay? So with this anti-gang bill, I think they get thrown out because you also have to apply to the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Okay? Because we have guys like Curtis, them get they click. Huh? They running tons of coke and marijuana and guns and, huh? So you're talking about us on the street? You guys, anti gang bill, these guys just dealing with a little $1,000, right? But former police officers, who are they click? Man, look here. So the anti gang bill got to get you, because if they was to look into the police force, right, with all that corruption, then all them tie in. Okay? Then all them tie in. So I guess that's why the anti-gang bill get choked, because when we look at it, we see a lot of corrupt police officers. And that is not out there for the good, decent police officers out there. It's for the corrupt set who was doing corruption for so long that they got greedy and got blinded and they got brought to light. And now they were exposed, and they were using the Royal Bahamas Police Force to do illegal activity. They had the airport on lock, huh? Family Island on lock. We heard a report where a senior corporal's inspector was threatening willing to kill an ex-decent police officer because the police officer was patrolling, and he said, he listened to the voice note. He ain't going to wake with us. See? And then the next officer said, who? I ready to take him out. If this is no concern for the Royal Bahamas Police Force, where you get a rogue cop who breaking the law, selling drugs, right? Transporting it and exporting it. Gonna kill a good cop, right? Let us do the anti-gang bill, and I hope they be applying it to the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Okay? Now let me read this thing from... Now, I just want to talk about the church, so I'm gonna let one of their own. And I've been saying this for years. Now listen closely. Bahamian Christian Council President Bishop Delton Fernando has condemned what he described as a culture of hypocrisy within the church. Now I was saying it for a little while, right? Now he is head of the Christian Council. So we're gonna read what he has to say, people. He says here, within the church, accusing many pastors of failing to live by their values. They preach and only speaking out when it benefits their political affiliation. That's why you see the model. Oh, Brave Davis and this and that. Or Michael Pindad, this and that. Or when Dr. Menes was the prime minister, or when Sir Lyndon Penlin was the prime minister. I think Carlton Francis was a good, Ari Cooper Sr. was a very good pastor. So he's not including that, but he was a part of the party too. But that was, I'm just saying, and he was a great pastor. I'm not going to be disrespectful to Ari Cooper. I don't know, you know, about his, I know that he's a great pastor, but, you know, he spoke on independence. I don't know if he's part of a political party, but I'm not going to include him in that, right? But we have a lot of them who serve in two masters. And you might not know, indirectly, you guys are damaging yourself. The guy talked about the politicians, how they serve in the king and the prime minister and that you know, they sell a note. Yes, that's true, because the prime minister signs a contract with England, okay? He swears to serve the queen first. Secondly, keep things confidential in the House of Parliament. And then thirdly, he swears to the Bahamian people. But he serves two masters. You understand? He's serving the king. Hey? Okay. Earthly king, Prince Charles. And the pastors, them, they serve the Pope. And if you look at the history of the Pope, you're talking about the devil? Well, you go look at it. And that's who the church serve. Unknowingly. And God tells you this. There'll be many people go there and do things unknowingly. Like, how you sign a contract, you know? But you ain't know to sign a contract. Okay? Dooms you. You serve a master now. Let me finish reading. Okay, before my time run out. He says here, live by the values they preach and only speaking out when it benefits their political affiliation. Bishop Fernandez said, too many religious leaders selectively raise their voices celebrating when their preferred political party is in power, but remaining silent in the face of wrongdoing by the same party. He called on such leaders to step aside. Because you can't be serving God and serving two masters. You can't be on the stage talking with your speaking for the prime minister. You got to be an independent pastor. If they want you to come speak on Independence Day, you do that. Right? No pastor's supposed to be in no political party, far as I'm concerned. You could vote in the general election if you want to. Because you believe, you praise God. That's how I feel. Huh? I feel no pastors in this country should be affiliated with no political party. The only party that's supposed to be affiliated with it is the kingdom of God, what they preach. Y'all corrupted. Yeah, let me finish reading. Celebrating their preferred political party is in power, but remaining silent in the face of wrongdoing by that same party. He called on such leaders to step aside. I will be the first to admit there has been some hypocrites in the church. Now, this is the president of the Crystal Council, and he's saying there are some hypocrites in the church. So when, huh? Because he knows there are hypocrites in the church. This is not my word, but I'm going to rub it in. Okay? Hypocrites. Because y'all people ain't saving nobody. Y'all sending people to hell. Because y'all could change so many people's lives in this country. But that's why y'all going door to door. Let me finish reading this quick. I will be the last to admit that there's been some hypocrites in the church. He said during a sermon at the Independence celebration. Let me go to Pie Face quick. I need me some glasses now, man. I need me some money now. He says here, the service held Wednesday night at the Bahamas Harvest Church. Some people who shout when the FNM in, some people who can only shout when the PLP in. And then they're going to have some shout when the coalition, if successful, get in. Right? Because Mr. Bean himself is a pastor. So I tell you, it's hard to, I don't know. See, listen what I'm trying to say. Mr. Bean, Lincoln Bean, is doing a great job. But then he's a pastor, and then sometimes you get this gun in your hand. Man, listen, man. See, listen, I understand you care for the country. I'm not, listen, I'm just saying I see what I see. All right? I see what I see. Okay? So I don't know. So that's where you get mixed up and you get these demons inside you. Well, anyway. He said Bahamians are increasingly recognizing that the growing political hypocrisy in some churches. He's saying that the Bahamian people, might say that the Bahamian people right now ain't entering no church or nothing like that because they see the crimes and the non-communication with the residents in the community. So people are moving away from the church now. That's why so much people are getting demons inside them because the word of God is not reaching them because people are running away from the church, people. Listen, this is what the bishop said. Let me read it quick. He said, Bahamians are increasingly recognizing the growing political hypocrisy in some churches. He also criticized the disparity between appearances and values among clerks, highlighting that many pastors on religious robes and drive luxury car by failing to embody the Christian lifestyle. We don't live the life that we preach about, he said. We don't live the life that we declare from the pulpit. He urged pastors to walk sincerely with God and to embody the message they deliver. The service was attended by parliamentarians, members of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, and various government officials. Bishop Fernando also addressed those in public service, urging them not to neglect their spiritual responsibilities while serving the nation. He acknowledged the challenges of moral leadership, emphasizing the importance of courage and faith. It's not easy to speak up, because when you speak out, people put you under their tongues. He said, God is still looking for a few of us that will stand up. So you're trying to tell me, what is man trying to say? This man trying to tell me, there are hypocrites in the church who are pastors not doing God's work. And he said that there are only a few of them. Man, we don't. We finished, man. So I'm your host, Valentino O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. I want to say thanks to all of the callers. Mr. Thompson, senior man, Mr. Thompson. Global. From the Global Station. Anton. To all other callers. You guys did a wonderful job here today. And I always like to have this conversation because my conversation is all about the small things that we need to address. Because you hear the Prime Minister, this is a national issue with this 1317 healthcare statistics in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So without further ado, I'll see you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Valentino O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoogey Scrooge, signing out. Enjoy your weekend. Bless up, Elroy Bryce.
I go weed them. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge.